Blog Talk Radio.
Plain talking. Take us so far.
Marcia Casper Cook.
Hi.
How are you doing, Marcia?
I'm good. How are you? I just think this phone is attached to my ear. This is three shows in a row.
I know. We've been all 3 days straight.
We've been on a lot. I know.
But yeah, we've been on a lot.
Yeah, because we have good things to, talk about.
Exactly. And we just want to let our listeners know a little bit about the World of Ink Network. We are featured hosting network here on Blog Talk Radio, and the background of the World of Ink Network is to basically introduce tips, products, services, strengthen, support, and challenge those who love the written word or reading, and to help small publishers and authors, of course, reach their readers. So that's pretty much the premise of most of our shows, and we also focus on the family as well here, and, of course, health as well. So you can always catch any of our shows throughout the week that talks on those various topics, along with all of our shows are archived into podcasts as well. And you actually had a show last night, Marcia. Did you want to kind of share about that show?
Well, it was a show with Secret Craving Publisher, and she has a lot of the guests have been on my show. She started out doing romance, but now they are taking other things. And we actually were talking about Smashwords today, and they're all interested in it. Everybody is. I mean, anybody that I emailed, and I did a lot last night because I know that so many people want to know about Smashwords. So, you know, because Secret Cravings is a small publisher, and she's done great. And I think one of the things I wanted to say is that, like about four, I think we've been doing shows for over 4 years. I remember talking about e-books, and I remember they said, "Oh, e-books are going to be in the future," and we went like, "Yeah, okay, fine." And then all of a sudden, like in one, it was like an explosion in 1 minute, and then all of a sudden, e-books became really popular, and a lot of people didn't have them before, and now everybody really wants one because you really do need to have, you know, your book in some format so you can read it anywhere you want, and it's one of the greatest things that's happened to publishing. So I think that Secret Craving, she was on my show not as a publisher. She was on as a guest, and then she decided she didn't like the way things were and what she was with a publisher, and so she wanted to make it better. And so she has. She's got tons of authors now, and she's been very successful. And so that's really what we're going to be talking about today is how people that are out, our authors are out there, how they can become successful without an agent or, you know, because and sometimes they feel bad they can't get one. I've been an agent for years, and I couldn't get a lot of good novels in. I really couldn't. So I know how hard it is. I've been doing this for, like, over 15 years. And I think people like today will be listening, and it'll be on demand, but Smashwords is, like, one of the things that will help all writers. If you are published with someone else, you still may want to publish, or if you have just starting out, this is like the best thing going here for new authors. I mean, years ago it was never like this. And they're really lucky they have all this available.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even when we had Rebecca Kelly on from the YMCA, I mean, she was even talking about how there's
everybody
so many different Yeah, that there's so many different forms of, you know, publishing and ways to reach readers. I mean, that was, I mean, and she's at the YMCA over, you know, because we're talking about the summer slide and summer programs for kids.
Right.
And I know this conversation came up on Monday as well.
Right,
so
we've been having a lot of conversations. So that's why, it's a good thing why we have the one and only, really, the person that really is helping a lot of people, which is
right.
What we do, and so we're so happy to have him on. So we'll welcome Mark. Mark Coker, hi, how are you?
Hi, Marcia in Virginia.
It's great to have you, Mark. So Mark Coker, just so our listeners know, is the founder, CEO, and chief author advocate at Smashwords. So this is the man behind Smashwords, which is it's another platform out there. I mean, everybody's so used to always hearing Amazon, and, you know, once in a while Barnes & Noble name pops up, but you know, and then of course there's Goodreads, but you know, Smashwords is also out there. And I know, Mark, you've been working really hard to try and get more people aware of your company and the fact that you guys are out there along with everybody else. So of course, Marcia and I would love for you to share a little bit about your background and Smashwords' background so our listeners can learn more about who you are and what Smashwords really is.
Sure. Well, you know, there's an interesting story behind the founding of Smashwords. It all kind of happened by accident. About 10 years ago, my wife and I met, and she was a former reporter for Soap Opera Weekly magazine, and her job was to interview the soap actors behind the scenes on the sets of the Hollywood soundstages. She was telling me these crazy stories about how the actors and actresses were more over-the-top nuts than they were in front of the camera. And so I suggested she write a story about it and write a book about it, and she said, well, why don't we write a book together? And so I thought, sure, what the heck? And so that's what we did.
Why not?
We moved to Burbank, California for a couple months and started interviewing doing our research and interviewing soap opera industry insiders, so actors, actresses, hair and makeup people, managers, agents, directors, and just collected all the dirt that we could, all these crazy stories about the soap opera industry. Then we moved to a cabin in Vermont for about 4 months and took all these crazy stories and wove them into a novel, a novel titled BoobTube. And then we shot after we had done multiple editing rounds and revisions, and we shopped the book to agents, and we were lucky enough to get represented by one of the top agencies in the country, Distel & Guttrich in New York City. They were really excited about the book. For 2 years, they tried to sell the book to all the major publishers of commercial women's fiction, and for 2 years, they got nothing but rejection.
Mm-hmm.
The common thread of feedback that they received from the publishers was that previous soap opera themed novels hadn't performed well in the marketplace. So they were reluctant to take a chance on, you know, these new authors, us, and a subject matter and a target audience that hadn't proven commercially successful before. And so as you might imagine, it was a really disappointing experience to have the door slammed in our faces like this. You know, again, this was almost 10 years ago. And that was
a big deal those years.
That was a big time
10 years ago when this all happened with everybody slamming doors on everybody.
Yeah, and I see that period of time really as the dark ages of publishing. It was a time when publishing was completely print-centric. Mm-hmm. E-books were not part of the conversation. And if you were unable to get a traditional book publishing deal, you were a failed author, and that's what all authors believed, because the publishers controlled the printing press, and they controlled the access to retail distribution. If you couldn't get your book into bookstores, it was close to impossible to sell books and to reach readers. And so, I thought about the problem that we were facing, and then I imagined, you know, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of other writers around the world who had also had their dreams crushed by publishers' inability to take a chance on them. And I thought, you know, there must be a solution here. There must be a technology solution to this problem. And so I started thinking about e-books. And at the time, ebooks only accounted for about 0.25% of the overall book market. But I saw ebooks as a way to help democratize publishing. And so I came up with the idea for Smashwords. I imagined that it would just be really exciting if I could create a free ebook publishing platform that would make it fast, free and easy for any writer anywhere in the world to publish any book that they wanted. So we would give authors the freedom to publish, and then we would give readers the freedom to read what they wanted. And that's what we launched in early 2008. And it's been a wild and crazy ride ever since.
Yeah,
today,
it's been fast. It went fast,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like it's fast. Yeah.
Really, really fast. So today, Smashwords is the world's largest distributor of self-published ebooks. We're representing over 95,000 authors around the world who publish and distribute over 300,000 books with us. So it's really exciting.
I think that that is so great. I mean, I think that what you've done, because being a person that's still in this business and kept writing, but a lot of people, they stop. So you're giving them the avenue now that they, because some of them, I mean, I had a lot of good clients that had great books and nobody would take them. And so this is so true to heart what you're saying, because I've been there, done that, and you've given them the opportunity to get out there and be successful, no less. They are successful.
Right. We've given writers the opportunity to be judged by their readers. And, the authors who write great books, the authors who honor their readers with high-quality writing, are finding an audience, and they're finding success. And they're finding success that is massive commercial success. You know, we've got authors that are hitting the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, yeah.
This was almost unthinkable a few years ago.
Yeah.
But, I always had confidence that if we could just unleash the full potential of all writers around the world, that we would have these successes, because there are so many great writers out there. And, if you think about how the publishing industry works, and especially how it used to work, their job is to act as a gatekeeper. Their job is to say no to 99.5% of everything that comes in their door.
Then to say yes is impossible almost.
It's really difficult. You know, the people in publishing, the people that work at the big publishers, they're all fabulous people. They all truly love books, but they're given an impossible task.
Yeah.
Their job is to find that small subset of books that will become commercial successes, because they need to invest in books that are going to sell. Otherwise, they can't keep the lights on. And the problem is, they're rejecting many great books. They're rejecting books that would have gone on to become massive bestsellers if only those books had been given a chance. And so now, ebook publishing platforms like Smashwords and KDP at Amazon, we're giving authors a chance to reach readers and be judged by the readers.
I think that's so much. That's one of the most wonderful things. And, I think, sometimes when I hear people and they're, complaining, I'm thinking, you don't know how lucky you are that you have this now, because all of the work was in drawers, thrown in drawers, and nobody was taking it out. And this way you've given them the chance to get that work out there. And I think people, instead of complaining that they're not selling, a million books, they should just be happy and keep writing, because there is some place that now if they write something, they don't have to worry if they're going to get some publisher to take it or an agent to look at it.
Right. We've made the publishing process ridiculously easy, but it's still really difficult to write a book that sells well.
Yeah.
And we're very upfront with our authors about that from day one. We tell them you are unlikely to sell very many books, because most authors, whether they're traditionally published or self-published, don't sell books.
Yeah.
And if you want to sell books, you need to be in this for the long haul. You need to have patience and perseverance. You need to be a great writer. You need to be able to take constant rejection and failure, and you need to continue writing, and you need to adopt best practices. You need to spend every single moment of every day becoming a better writer and a better publisher.
Yeah, I think that sums it up. That is true, and that will solve the fact of how all of these people are so upset, and they're online constantly think, buy my book, and then they're depressed when they maybe sell 10 books. But, you know, really, and when people go to book signings, they don't sell like 500 books like they think they do on TV. It doesn't work like that. But you're right, you have to be in this for the long haul.
Right. And if you really want to reach a lot of readers, it's all going to be determined by the very first readers that you get. The success of your career will be entirely dependent upon your readers. If you can take your readers to an emotionally satisfying extreme, if you can turn your readers into fans and turn your fans into super fans, then your super fans will propel your career forward. So authors need to think a little bit differently. They need to think about these super fans. How do I cultivate super fans? Because the super fans will evangelize my books to their friends and family.
Yeah.
So it's all about building the super fans and then serving those super fans.
That's what you help people with. Okay. And I also, you know, there's a lot of things. You have tools and things. Now let's say that I have a book and I don't know what to do with it. I go on Smashwords and I don't know about formatting, don't know anything. What's the first step for them?
Okay, so the first step is to sign up for a free account at Smashwords. Everything at Smashwords is free. We don't sell anything. We don't sell publishing packages. We provide you free tools to publish and distribute. So the first thing is you sign up for that free account. That email that we'll send you, the confirmation email, will contain all of your next steps for what you do. So the first step is to download the Smashwords Style Guide. This is the ebook formatting Bible of Smashwords. It's been downloaded close to 500,000 times. The style guide will teach you how to prepare your book for publication as an ebook. The only tool you need to format your book is a word processor. We recommend Microsoft Word, but you can use other word processors as well. And you don't need any prior experience. You don't need any prior technical knowledge about how this is done. The style guide shows you how. So the first step is to get your book formatted so it's ready to upload to Smashwords. The second step is to find your cover image. And, you know, unlike print books, which have a front cover, a back cover image, and a spine image, ebooks only have a front cover. I would recommend that every author hire a professional to design their ebook cover for them. Professional ebook cover designers are ridiculously cheap and low cost. You can find
they are
a
lately. They really are. They absolutely
yeah.
are. And I think people don't realize that you can really, you know, there are a lot of people out there that charge way too much money, but there are a lot of people that really are making great covers that are not a lot of money.
Right. We have a list of cover designers at Smashwords. They're all freelancers, and you work directly with the freelancer. We don't get a commission if you hire them. And it's on. It's called Mark's List, and you can find it. You just send an email to list@smashwords.com, and you'll get the list via autoresponder. Most of these cover designers are less than $100, and they all have online portfolios. And if you don't like them, you can go hire someone else. You know, you can find high quality cover designers that'll design a cover image that looks like it came right out of New York for you know, less than $200. So it's really a deal. And it's one of the lowest cost, highest impact investments an author can make. Don't spend thousands of dollars. Spend $200 or less, and you'll get a great cover. So once you have your cover and your formatted manuscript, and you've got your account set up at Smashwords, you just click the Publish button, and you upload the cover and the manuscript. You tell us, you know, what the title of your book is. You enter in the description of the book. You tell us how you want it categorized. So which virtual shelf do you want it on? Is it, you know, romantic suspense, or is it nonfiction business, whatever? And then you click the upload button, and your information is uploaded to our servers, and our technology automatically converts your file into a multi-format ebook. And we make it available for sale instantly, well, within 5 minutes, on the Smashwords homepage, so we give you your 15 minutes of fame, and, you know, and at a price that you set, And then the book goes into a review queue where our vetting team in Los Gatos, California, will look at the book and make sure that your book meets the mechanical requirements of the major retailers. And if your book does meet the requirements, if you follow the style guide, we approve the book for premium catalog distribution. And then we will distribute your book to major retailers such as Apple iBooks, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Scribd, Oyster, public libraries. And so we get your book out there into the retailers and into libraries.
Now, you have a good relationship with libraries, which is a very hard place to get in.
Yeah, we love libraries. We've been working with libraries now for a couple years. Just a couple months ago, we signed a distribution agreement with Overdrive. Overdrive is the world's largest supplier of e-books to public libraries. They represent over 20,000 public libraries around the world. And these libraries can now purchase Smashwords books. So we've got a lot of authors and publishers who use Smashwords who are really excited about this.
Yeah,
because it's,
yeah.
Otherwise, it's difficult to get into the Overdrive system.
And get into libraries at all. I mean, it's
right.
really hard. That's a really
right.
hard thing. And that's a really good thing for a lot of authors because that's where they pick up readers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think libraries are really, I refer to them as engines of discovery. Many readers discover their favorite authors for the first time at a public library, and then they go off to retailers and purchase the books.
Yeah. I think, all the things that you've done are such a big help. All right, so let's just say, when we say formatting, we all know, Virginia knows, we all know what that is, okay, but if they don't, you have people that will help them.
Yeah, we have a customer service staff. In fact, I don't even like to call them customer service because we don't refer to authors as customers.
Right,
we don't consider authors customers.
Yeah.
We consider authors, clients and business
yeah.
partners. But we do have a support team that is standing by, 5 days a week to offer free online support if you have any problems, questions as you're formatting. Formatting is really the process of preparing your manuscript for upload. So we'll teach you in the style guide the best practices for laying out and designing an ebook so that it reads well across all ebook reading devices.
Yeah, because it is hard because it depends on what, I was talking about something the other day, I'm doing my blog, okay, and I'm figuring, I have a lot of blogs, or like 8 blogs, but I'm figuring it out, and I'm picking this picture, that picture, and then I was looking at it on my phone, and I'm going I'm doing all this out there, and on my phone they can only see like a little of it. So some of the things, people, it depends what you're on is how you can read something. So a lot of people, they go, they don't know how to format a book. That's not true. It depends, or a blog, whatever, it depends on what you're using. If it's an
right.
iPad, Virginia, I have a Kindle, and it does depend on if you have a computer, wherever you're reading it, it's going to be different, and it's not that the person doesn't know how to format, it's whatever they're reading it on.
Yeah, and I can share with you, one of the secrets to ebook formatting is to understand the difference between how a print book is laid out and how an ebook is laid out. So with a print book, the formatting is fixed. So the book designer determines the font size, determines where every single word sits on the page. But ebooks are different. Ebooks are reflowable. And you want to design your book for reflowability. And reflowability means that the reader can click a button and increase the font size, and then all of the words automatically repaginate across the screen. Reflowability enables your book to look just as good on a small screen like an iPhone as it does on a large screen like an iPad or a large Kindle. And so if you design with these best practices in mind, you'll be able to provide your readers a great reading experience across
right.
all of these different devices. That's the goal.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, Virginia and I, we do children, we have a lot of shows on children's books and things like that. And, I myself have done several. And, I think people don't understand the fact that clip art really looks good. And you can also get illustrators, but you can make a book look really good. It's not easy. It takes time. You got to look for the pictures, but it's well worth it to keep looking to find something that you really like. So it makes your book sell.
Sure.
Anything
yeah, you know,
out
children,
there.
Children's books are probably more difficult to format than
a regular
you know, book that's straight narrative, like a novel or narrative nonfiction. You know, with children's books, you know, a lot of children's books, you know, depending on the target age range, will put text embedded within images.
Mm-hmm.
When you're designing your ebook, you want to avoid that because if you put text embedded within the image, it's not reflowable. And the reader can't adjust the font size. So if you've got a print book where the text is embedded in the images, when you're designing your ebook, you want to take the text out of the images and liberate it as reflowable text. So images and text are separate.
Right, they are. You know, but you'll help people with whatever they need to have help with. And if they can't find, you know, like Virginia and I, we try to, you know, offer things in Virginia, you know, we're doing book reveals, things like that, that are not a lot of money because what you've done is made this easy for people to publish and not – because Virginia and I are very careful about what we say as far as price rise because we know people really can't afford like what some people are charging. I have had people call me and they've spent thousands, like $12,000 to get one book made.
Oh, I hate it when I hear stories like that. It's really
sad. I know.
Or companies like Author Solutions and all of their sock puppet brands like Author House and Ex Libris. These companies, some of these companies are in the business of selling overpriced services to authors. They're not in the business of selling books.
Right.
And so I really advise authors to be cautious. You know, when you're self-publishing an ebook, it doesn't need to cost you anything. You can do it for free. The tools are out there for free. And if you do pay money, pay it for a cover designer, or if you can afford it, hire a professional editor. But most writers just starting out, you know, can't afford to spend $2,000 or $3,000 on a professional editor. But other than that, there's really nothing. There's not a lot that you need to spend money on. In the very early days when you're first starting off, you can do a lot of your own marketing for free. I wrote a book. It's called the Smashwords Book Marketing Guide, and it provides 40 free marketing ideas that an author can do on their own. They don't need to pay anyone to do these things.
Right.
So there are a lot of things that authors can do to get off the ground. And then once your book starts selling, once you start building your business, then you can consider, you know, how to reinvest that money into, you know, more professional marketing, more professional services if you need them. But just be really cautious at the beginning. It's really important for writers to understand that when they self-publish, they are becoming a publisher. They are operating a business. And businesses cannot operate if they're not profitable. And it's really difficult for you to project what your revenue is going to be, what your sales will be, but you can control your expenses. So do everything possible to keep your expenses as low as possible because that's how you're going to stay in business, especially during the early years, which are going to be very dry and not much money coming in.
Right, and, you know, but you have tools, you have everything there for them, and I think, you know, the part about, because I know you're cringing, when people tell me what they've spent, and they don't even get a book, that's the thing, they get like 2 books, and I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, they spent all this money, and that's why I continually talk about this, because I really know that they do that out there, and I don't want them to. And sometimes I say after they've done it, listen, just call me. I'll send you someplace later when you do your next book. Do not just go out on the Internet and look for people. That's dangerous.
Right.
Very dangerous.
It is dangerous. You want to find people that you can trust, and there are certain services out there that have a reputation where you know that you cannot trust them.
I know.
So be cautious. And also, you know, understand that the opportunity for self-published authors in print is very limited. So if you're writing a novel, I would publish digitally first, all right? And then if you start finding a commercial market, if readers start asking you for a print book, then do a print book. And you can do that for free at a company like CreateSpace or Ingram. you know, really pinch your pennies, go digital first, reach your market.
Because you almost have to have digital. You have to have digital because they asked you about the e-book, you know. And that's really important, and you're getting an opportunity to see if you might have an audience. And even if you don't have an audience, you probably should just write something else because maybe your next book will have an audience.
Right. It takes a while to build audience. You may not, you know, you might be into book 4, 5, or 6 before you start building a sizable audience. It really takes time. You've got to write multiple books. You've got to keep at it. You know, the more books you write, the greater your odds of reaching more readers. Each book then can start, you know, serving as a marketing tool, a marketing vehicle for all your other books. And then once you have multiple books, it opens up new opportunities for you to market those books. So, for example, if you're writing series, you can make the first book in the series free, and that'll drive a lot more readers into the series so that you can so that you can sell more books.
Right, the others, right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many things. Virginia, did you want to ask anything?
I was going to say, Mark, you go out and do a lot of speaking at conferences and stuff, and I know from my own experience, and so does Marcia, that getting out, besides, you know, constantly writing and getting more books out there as an author, that getting out and going to writers' conferences, either to network and to hone your skills or to be a speaker at those type of things, I mean, you know, I know a lot of authors just, I don't think, understand how important those things are. And I'd love for you to kind of talk about the fact that you go out and do that and what you have found to be beneficial of doing that, you know, being a part of Smashwords and being a speaker, the benefits that come from those kinds of things as well.
Sure. Well, you know, the benefits for Smashwords of getting out is that we really want to help educate writers. We want to promote best practices, and that's what we're doing in all the talks that we do. You know, we share best practices information, both, you know, introductory best practices for how to publish a book, to more advanced best practices, teaching authors how to use the tools, teaching authors how to be more successful, and just sharing the knowledge that we've learned, the inspiration that we've learned from other authors who are doing it right. You know, what can you do to emulate the best-selling authors? But, you know, I definitely think writers should attend these writing conferences if they can afford them. It's a great investment to, you know, attend lots of workshops, listen to the experts, listen to all the different opinions, learn how to, you know, take advantage of these new opportunities that are out there, and also meet with fellow writers. Your fellow writers are not your competitors. They're your partners in this journey, and there are many opportunities for writers to work together to reach more readers. We're seeing a big trend right now. We've actually seen this happening for the last couple of years, but now it's starting to become a really big thing of writers collaborating on multi-author box sets. So we'll see
anthologies and all those anthologies that they're doing now.
We'll see 10 romance authors contribute a full-length book into this multi-author box set. They'll price it at 99 cents or $2.99. And then all 10 of those authors market that book aggressively to all of their readers. And it's a great way to collaborate and build readership for all,
it really
all
is,
of the writers.
I had that. We had, I had some people on that did an anthology, and they weren't from the same publishing company, and they all were together. Like, even last night on the show, we were talking about how we consider authors not to be competition. We want them to be friends. I, over the years in Virginia, and I both, we've met tons of people, and learned from other authors so much. I mean, after doing all these shows for 4 years, I think that this is where I got really a great education. Because, you know, no matter who you are, I think you could use some help, no matter who it is. And when somebody comes on, or when you're talking right now about an idea and something we could read and something, there's always room to learn because it's changing so fast. And so I think a lot of times people think, oh, they don't have anything to learn, but that's really not true because things change fast and there are better ways to do things now.
Right. And, you know, one of the first things that you want to learn are some of the foundational basics, you know, how to think and act like a publisher. I wrote another book that I would recommend. And by the way, all of my books on ebook publishing are free. You can download them for free anywhere. So I wrote a book a couple years ago called The Secrets to Ebook Publishing Success. And that book identifies the 30 best practices of the most commercially successful self-published ebook authors. And even if you know nothing about publishing, if you're just a complete newbie, if you read that book, it'll give you the foundational knowledge you need to really start to think like a publisher. And once you can think like a publisher, and you can start acting like a publisher.
Right, because you can't. And also now, because the market is better and they're not, you know, like when you say self-publishing, you know, independent publishing, it's like, and there are so many people that don't even go the route. It's not that they couldn't get published. They don't even want to bother anymore because they know it's going to take like 3 years to get their book out. And by that time, you know, if they don't know if they're going to be a success or not, you can't wait 3 years. I mean, you know, nobody wants to wait that long anymore. Everybody
right.
wants to do things faster.
Oh, yeah. I meet writers all the time at these writers' conferences who will tell me stories of how they've been trying to sell their book for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
They've been, you know, contacting agents, contacting publishers, and just getting rejection. And, you know, they're starting to ask, you know, how long should I wait?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, many writers, you know, are rightly deciding that they shouldn't wait any longer, that they now have the tools and capability to publish with pride and professionalism as a self-published author, as an indie author. The tools and knowledge are out there now to do it.
It's sounding so much better, and it does sound better, and it is better. So I think that, you know, that is, I get all these calls all the time, and when I tell people, they say, oh, I'm gonna get, you know, I have this, and it's the most wonderful book. I go, look, I said, I'm not saying it's not. I said, but you're not, I don't think you're going to get published right away. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth, and it's not negative. I want
right.
to tell them what else they can do.
Well, publishers are facing, you know, the large publishers are facing some pretty serious challenges now. And, you know, even if they wanted to publish every single book that came in the door,
they
simply can't. They're
yeah.
unable to take a risk on every author. And, you know, it's important for writers to realize that really the only gatekeeper that matters is the reader. And the only way to get judged by the reader is to put your work out there and get it judged. You know, writers have the tools to self-publish. If your book is ready today, if it's finished, you have the ability to get it out to a global audience, you know, today, instantly, and be judged by the readers.
And it's really hopeful for them to be out there. I mean, I have
yeah.
to ask you one question because I know we're going to have a shorter interview because I know you have other interviews. You're very much in demand these days. And, okay, you do screenplays on I think, right? We can
yes.
put screenplays
yes.
on there. Now, if the format is, you know, in final draft, you'd like it in Word, or can you use it in a PDF on a screenplay? That's what somebody asked me also.
Yeah, so we have some tips in the style guide of how to take a book that's in final draft and get
uh-huh.
it into
okay.
a Microsoft Word document. There are some challenges, and, you know, obviously
yeah.
screenplays are formatted differently than a regular
yes.
book.
Right.
And they're... I've got tips in there of how to do that in Word.
So do you have a lot of people doing screenplays on there?
Not too many. You know,
okay, because I'm actually an advocate for this right now. I mentioned it last night. I did a book with Fidelity Publishing several years ago, and she's a self-publisher, and she uses Smashwords all the time. We did one on Amazon, and it's fine, and I was, you know, the rules are, I've been an agent, you're not supposed to put a cover on a book, and you're only supposed to have three written, you know, three hole punch and whatever, but I do think if someone puts a cover on it, and now with Smashwords, to get their screenplays out there, there might be somebody that will read it that never would have seen it, and maybe they'll get it produced, because the chances of getting produced are so slim, and
right.
there are so many screenplays out there that are good.
Yeah, if you've written a screenplay, put it on Smashwords.
Well, I'm going to do some of mine. Yeah, we're going to do some.
Price it at free.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you want to get people reading it and talking
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're lucky, you know, someone might see it and be inspired by it and want to do something with it.
That's what I'm thinking, because it doesn't work. That, you know, like you do things that are, you know, you took a gamble this way, and I'm telling screenwriters to try to take a gamble, and I really want them to do this, because I think when you have a book, you feel like you've done something, but when you have a screenplay that never gets sold, it's it's like you've not done what you wanted to do. This way, somebody may read it as a book and enjoy it really, because you can enjoy a screenplay if it's written good. You can enjoy it like a book.
Right, right.
So I think that that's something, I'm going to be trying that. So I was talking about that last night, and we'll be trying to put some of my screenplays on there, because I frankly think that we need to change some things. So, I mean, you did it your way, and so I'm thinking, why not try other ways with other things?
Yeah, I think that's a great attitude. You want to get out there and experiment. So, you know, most of your experiments won't work, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You won't know until
right.
you try.
Right, which Virginia's laughing, because I do try things all the time. But I think that's I've done this for so long, and it's I know. And it's just so much more fun that you feel like you're at least trying, rather than just saying, okay, fine, I'm not getting published, I'm not going to get my screenplay. You can't do it, because you just don't know. It could happen for anybody. They can
right.
be successful.
Well, and I'm thinking of all the movies lately. I mean, in for
yeah.
an example, I mean, how long ago did 50 Shades of Grey come out? And now it's finally, you know, the preview movie trailer is finally out for it. I mean, so, you know, going back to what you and Mark were just saying, you know, if it's a good screenplay, it's going to read like a story.
Yeah.
And therefore, I mean, look how many books get turned into screenplays and become movies. So
that's right.
Why not try the other
right.
way?
I think it's great. Right, right. That's why I'm so happy that Mark came on, because this is such an innovative, this is such a good chance for people. And, you know, and you do magazines on there. You know, people can do what they want on Smashwords and have something out there instead of thinking that they're failing.
Right,
they're
right.
not failing. You know, so you've given hope to people, and I think this is good. You know, and so what would you like to tell people at the end of the day? That what is your best advice for them? Because I know we're going to keep this out on, you know, Facebook and your interview.
Well, you know, my best advice is that you should believe in yourself. If you're passionate about what you're doing, you should keep at it. You should get your work out there in front of readers as soon as possible, you know, once it's ready for readers to see, once it's edited. And then keep writing. Never stop writing. Never stop learning. Go to writers' conferences. Read blogs. Try to soak up as much knowledge as you can. It's the knowledge of the publishing business that will really give you a leg up in this long-term battle to reach readers. Take advantage of the new tools that are available to you.
Yeah.
One of the tools that I'm most excited about at Smashwords is pre-orders. You can now list a pre-order at Apple, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo through Smashwords. And one of the neat things about pre-orders is that all of those orders that you accumulate leading up to your book launch, all of those orders credit to your book sales on day one, and it can cause you to spike in the bestseller lists. So
yeah.
we've put dozens of Smashwords authors into the top 10, multiple number ones at the major retailers using pre-orders as a tool. You know, pre-orders are one of many tools that give the author an incremental advantage. You know, the tool alone is not going to change your life, but it gives you a small step up.
Yeah.
And as an author, yeah. you want to take advantage of every incremental advantage you can get. You know, there's no single magic bullet to becoming a bestseller. You know, becoming a bestseller is all about doing dozens of things right and avoiding, you know, bad mistakes that'll derail
yeah.
your career.
Right, right, right. Bad mistakes. And you're giving them all the opportunities. And one of the bad mistakes is spending so much money that people have to really go, they're in debt, and they are.
Oh, yeah, you should never go into debt
no.
to finance
no.
your publishing adventure.
Right.
Pinch your pennies. It's really important to pinch your pennies. And I would say that if you're just getting started and you're publishing, you're getting ready to publish your first book and you've got $2,000 burning a hole in your pocket, should you spend that money on marketing or should you spend it on something else? I would spend that on professional editing. Find a great editor who has
yeah.
edited books in your genre, in your category, definitely do your research and get that great editing, because the best book is the best marketing.
Yeah. See, the one thing that you just said, right, get an editor that is in your genre, because sometimes if they're not in your genre, your book is not going to be the way it should be.
Right,
you get an editor
right.
who doesn't like your genre. And so
yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. All right. On that note, you know, thank you so much. You know, I so appreciate that you came on. Virginia and I both do, and that's why we did the show together with you, because, you know, we hear all of these things, and I think really you've made it very easy for people to learn how to publish now.
Great. Well, Marcia and Virginia, thanks for having me on your show.
Okay, thank you. Have a good trip.
Pleasure.
I know you're busy. I know you're
pretty
busy these
days.
You. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good luck.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, that was great, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
That was so, you know, because you know why? This is really a way that people can do it, and he really said everything that we always say.
Right, and there's a lot, and I was going to say, there's a lot of authors who their publishers do the, you know, print books, and they'll do, like, maybe on Amazon and Barnes & Noble only, the e-book. And the thing is you can ask your, you know, and in this case, and with Smashwords, which is really cool, and, I was looking, as Mark was talking, and he was sharing about it, if you can get your publishers, you know, obviously because you own the ISBN, as long as you get their okay because they're the owners of the ISBN, to put it on Smashwords yourself, or you can even get, because it's a different, you know, e-book, and you can just call it, you know, like version 2 or whatever, like author special version, they can assign your own ISBN and then get it out to those other markets. So it's,
yeah, and, you know, we know people
way.
That can help them with the formatting, and, you know, I mean, and I use Fidelity, and then Kelly does it, and Willow. A lot of people are formatting books now, and so what he's saying is you can really do it for a good price rather than what we've heard in the past.
Yeah, yeah. There's,
you know,
yeah,
and so, and, you know, I think everything he said is really good, and I, you know, I am going to try that with the screenplays because I do believe it's enough, you know, like he took a gamble on that, and I'm just going to go right out and do this because I really think it has to be done because I think that so many people are out there in different formats and they just don't know what to do with their work. Their screenplays, you know, and they're just sitting in drawers and they give up, and I have seen this, and I haven't. So, you know, it's not really about how many books you sell. I mean, I do sell books. I can't say that I don't. You know, I might not be on the best. I am with my sale book. But, you know, I have 8 books. So I think I'm not giving up. And this, he's right.
Well,
you have to think about this every minute. I do. So
yeah,
do you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is. It's a business. And you have to think like as like a business, which, you know, Mark, you know, did touch on. And the fact that you have to keep writing. Yeah, I think that's the biggest key is a lot of people get so focused on the one book that comes out.
Right.
And trying to get that in everybody's hands that they forget that
you've
got to, it's like when you write your first book and you send it out to hopefully if you're doing the traditional publisher route, the mentality of those who do traditional publishing is you write your manuscript, you get in the best condition possible, and when you feel like it's as good as it's going to get, you send it out and you forget about it and you start on the next project. But unfortunately, in the indie market, what happens is we focus so much on Market. We forget we need to write more books.
And I'm really in that same boat. And that's why what he said is really good. And, you know, I mean, I do say these things because the truth is I am like everybody else, and you're writing another book. I mean, we do this. It's not like we're just talking about it. And it is hard. But he did, you know, I had never talked to him, but I didn't really know him, and I just wanted to hear what he had to say, and he really said it all.
He's got a down pat
of what to do.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Exactly, I mean, so I think that when he gives a presentation, they listen.
Oh, sure. I mean, and
it's the library, that's the part that's
Well, a lot of libraries are going to e-books. Our library system out here is as well, getting into the e-book. You know, I mean, they still have print books, and it goes back to what Becca Kelly was saying. I mean, you know, there's families who can't afford the e-readers and stuff, so print books aren't going anywhere. You know, you have people like like Tracy McDonald, who's been an author, who's been on the show with us before, who's blind. So audiobooks aren't going to go anywhere because people still need those. I mean, there's room for every version.
Yeah, there really is. And
book.
I think there are so many different formats, and I think that everybody sticks to one thing and they're not trying as hard as they can. You really have to try, you know. And the good thing is that, like myself, he was rejected. So when you are rejected a lot, you think, well, the hell, and you keep finding new things, and that's what he did, and it's a great thing he did for people because they're out there. But and I do think now I think people will probably now understand it better of what to do on there. He's got all these things, and the good thing is it's like sometimes people say, like, oh, fine, read my book, and then they charge you. Everything is free.
Yeah.
You know, that does, and that's great. Because, you know, when you have somebody on, they go, okay, fine, you do this, 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 and this. You can read the book, and it is $10 or whatever. Everything he does is free here.
Right. He's like us. Mark's very much into wanting those to be still.
He really cares about it.
Right. So I think anybody, if you've never heard of Smashwords, definitely go check out Smashwords.
Yeah, and we're going to put it out on our site.
Yeah, you don't have anything to lose. Go in there, and it's just smashwords.com. It's that simple.
Yeah.
They're really great. And the other thing, too, which is interesting about the site itself is all the books are $99 or less. They're, so none of them are over
$99. Right, 99.
Well, no. $9.99.
Oh, yeah, right.
Or less, all the way down to free. So, I mean, nothing goes over $10, which is really interesting because there's a lot of books I know, like, I will go buy, and I'm going, it's an e-book. I am not paying $15 for an e-book.
Yeah.
I
know.
I'm
and
like
you know
$15 for a digital piece of
I think that he has that idea. I didn't realize that they had that you can put a book on there for free, So I think that's a good thing to do on there.
Yeah.
And then they can look at your other books. I think everything he said was really, if you give something for free and then start liking it, I mean, and what you're not looking, it's not about making $10. It's about making a time for yourself when you have readers or when you have somebody that maybe wants to produce something. It can happen.
Well, I was saying, going back to what Tom Garrison said on our guerrilla marketing show we had on What a Success, a lot of people don't want to give their book away for free. So this is a way to still list your ebook, but then you can put some type of guide or companion book with it and offer that for free.
Yeah, and he just said all the things that are so important about how, because he knows the sites that are just so costly for people, and I know that. Oh my God, and years ago people would send books that were self published, and they smelled of paste. Some of them I used to get, and I'd open the box, and I go, oh, my God, and the whole office smelled like paste, because that was what people did those days. They, barely got it together, but when people say self-published, this is a professional book.
Yeah.
They don't let you, because you have to go through, when they look at the book and it's not right, you're not going anywhere. You got to make it right, because they're not just throwing something out. So I think that's how everything has changed. Oh, that was good, because I think everything he said is such a help to people. And children's books are harder. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they are.
To formatting.
But the market is picking up from them, as we know. I mean, it's slow and steady. What's interesting, going back to Mark's comment earlier, comment about how authors are coming together, like to do anthologies or to do book box sets. Mikey Brooks, we've had on the show before, he has done it. He has gotten together with a group of other authors, and they wrote a series of middle grade novels. Each author wrote one of the novels in the series, and you can actually get that series on Smashwords, which is The Gates of Atlantis.
This is a good idea. Yeah. Because we had that Valentine book, the Smashwords, they were all on, They were all on, the authors, and some of them really didn't know each other that well, and they got to know each other. And I do think, we talked about this last night on the show with Secret Break, is that I don't really look at people as competition. They're like my friends, So I think that there's room for everybody to be writing and have friendships and relationships with people that can help them and they can learn from.
Exactly.
So I think that that's, it was pretty interesting last night too about talking about those things, because I had some people on that I had before, and they are very helpful. And that's why when we do the shows, as I listen to your shows, you listen to mine, because we have different kinds of guests, and you learn. I'm always taking notes. I got notes today. I got little notes. But I think that, it probably is not a bad idea for me to do that screenplay free on e-books. You can't do it on Amazon when it's a book, because my other one is a book, okay? It's not in the e-book format. They didn't have that then. E-books, 5 years, I think, because we've been doing shows for 4 years. They had e-books, but it was nothing like this.
Yeah, I would really say the last 4 years, the e-book market's really taken over.
I remember him guest
not
on saying, well, it's going to be good. And then all of a sudden, you know, the iPad came out and everything went crazy.
I remember shows having the discussion, do you think, you know, how popular do you think e-books are?
Yeah.
We had
those, I know. It's true. It really is true. We had so many, and they go, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, 5 years, 6 years, and all of a sudden everything went crazy. So I'm so glad he came on, and this will be a help to people.
Yes. Well, let's talk about some of the shows that we have going on. Of course, Monday we had the Stories for Children show, which you and I are going to start doing together once a month, so our listeners are aware of that.
I did talk about that last night, too.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
We did, and that's going to be on the last Monday of every month, and we had Rebecca Kelly from the YMCA, who was on that show, talk about the Summer Slide and the different programs the YMCA offers. And then, of course, if you don't have a YMCA, you can always contact them to find out maybe how one can get in your community or even, you know, look into your own community to see if you have your own personal rec centers through your cities like I do in my area. So, I mean, there's a lot of great information there on why those
programs
are
important. Yeah, in Chicago we have a lot of Y's. There's a lot. And they offer a lot of things,
then,
you know, exercise. It's just not books. It's, you know, your child can be, you know, in a swimming class and you can be exercising. So, I mean, you know, they do offer a lot of things. So I think that, you know, there's so many of the things that we're having on lately are going to be very, you know, big help to people because, you know, we already know it for all these years what would help already, you know.
Exactly. Well, and of course you have your show Tuesdays, which is a good story is a good story.
Yes.
And then go ahead.
And then, well, Fran will be back. They'll all be back soon. In August.
Right. Fran Lewis will be back on Thursdays with her book discussion show. And then Tracy McDonald's actually going to be joining the group. She is going to be co-hosting the What a Success show, which will be the last Wednesday of the month. And then Irene Roth is going to be moving the Empowerment show, and I will be her assistant on that show. And that will be on the second Wednesday of the month.
Back where you start. What can you say?
So that'll be on the second Wednesdays of the month. And then, of course, Bennett Pomerantz.
Bennett Pomerantz is on every other.
Yeah, is on every other Saturday. And his show name has changed to Any Which Way But Loose.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know Cassandra
and
will be coming
back.
And Willow will be back.
With Tracy
Ford. So we have a lot of...
Yep.
Yes, we'll,
and Cassandra
RJ
will be
Jeffrey
every other Sunday.
Be
everybody will be back, and R.J. Jeffrey, he'll be back. And so we'll be having, starting in August, pretty much a fuller schedule.
Yeah, so this coming week in August, the first week of August, is going to be a little sluggish because we're all starting to come back from summer vacation.
Well, I didn't go anywhere. You've been on the show.
Yeah, we didn't go. Most of us didn't
You've been
go
on
anywhere. We were just doing stuff.
Yeah, right. I said this year. Well, it's already August, so it's like
right.
Over.
But by the second week of August, things are going to start picking up here at the World of Ink Network.
Yeah.
A lot of shows
are
going to be happening, so it's going to be pretty full shows and weeks almost here. So.
And Marnie and I
are
doing a book launch on Tuesday, and we'll talk more about that. And so it's very interesting. So I'm going to write today, I'm hoping. I'm going to not turn the Internet on. I don't know if that's true, but I am. I think I need to, you know. I think he's right. I mean, the truth is all this marketing is just it makes you lose what you have as a writer. You're too worried about who's going to buy it. He's right. Most authors don't make a lot of money. He's right. And maybe people should hear that more often because it's true.
Well,
and they shouldn't feel
even,
bad if they're not making a lot of money.
Well, Emma Drynda said the same thing, that most authors don't, you know, aren't rich. I mean, and the ones who are the A-plus list authors, the reason why they're making the money they're making is they have what? They have 50 to 100 books under their name.
Yeah, they do.
And
I think that's what people have to do, And I think it's
reality.
You know, just keep writing. Yeah, it is a reality. Mm-hmm. But I do think now, with all the formats that they have, and I do think listening to him, he was even better than I thought he would be because he's so into it, and that's really so nice to hear because when you realize how much he cares about this, he's thinking of new things all the time.
Yeah, you could definitely hear the passion.
Oh, you can definitely tell he's doing that.
Mark's voice about this industry.
Yeah,
he's not your typical CEO. That's like, I started this business because I thought it'd be a great idea to make money.
Right.
It's I did this because I want to help people. And those are the CEOs. Those are the founders of companies that are gonna, you know, go far. Yeah.
And that's why people always say, why do I do what I do? I love this. I'm sure people know by now I do love this. And, you know, but the thing is, you really have to, you know. And what he's saying is not negative in any way. It's being positive is this is a place that you can actually feel like you are going towards your career.
Correct.
I always hated when everybody would say that all their stuff is in their drawers and you can't, it, that's it. And then when, you know, then you just throw it out. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never know who's going to be the next bestseller.
Nope, you don't. You never know.
And we never know when one of my screenplays is going to come out. I got 11 of them, and that's why I'm going to start doing this, because I do feel that they need to figure out something, because the movies are not all that fabulous these days. You need new writers. All right, so thank you for being on the show with me. I'm glad we both did shows this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really learned a lot. So now that we learned all this, we have to be doing something. We have to be
so
writing.
Get out there and start writing or go find a good book.
Right, and I'm not going to be on the phone. Right, exactly. All right, thank you again, and thank you all for listening. And to Mark again, thank you so much, and to Blog Talk for featuring us.
Me to the world of Inc.